we're living in some very, very difficult times, and we're living in the last days. We've been living in the last days for 2,000 years. These are the last of the days. The days we're living in. And all you have to do is look at the milepost markers along the interstate roads of life to understand that things hadn't always been like they are now. And things are moving at a rapid pace. That day and age is called the rapture of the church and the great tribulation. I talked a little bit on it last week about going over that bridge. We're going up and we're going over and we're coming back down. That's the rapture of the church. While we're doing that, we're going through the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord's Supper. We'll have our new bodies whenever the rapture comes. And we'll be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be cleaned up in that great supper of the Lamb. And then after a seven-year tribulation, we're coming back on this earth in our glorified bodies to reign and rule with Jesus Christ 1,000 years. But while we're going up and over, there's hell on earth. There's hell on earth. It's called the Great Tribulation. You want to know what time it is. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus Christ is talking about the road the people travel down. I know, Marsh and myself, we know it's when you're feeling bad, it's hard to contain. You go in and you study and read. It's hard. So a couple of days, and I try to do as much studying as I can on the times that we're living in and the sermons that I bring. I couldn't get anything going. So the Lord just, whenever I was laying there asleep at night, he kind of showed me which way to go this morning. I had to get up out of my bed and go in there and write something down. I know Marshall's done that many times. And this road, the world's interstate highway. Jesus Christ called it the broad road. And if you have your bulletins, I really like that time I opened up my bulletins this morning. I saw the title of it. The Romans Road. Y'all see it on your bulletins? Now that's Jesus Christ's narrow road. That's narrow road. But in these verses of scripture this morning, verse 13 and 14, as I said, Jesus Christ called it the broad road, the wide road, and it leads to hell. And the illustrations that I've been using in the last days, these mileposts ahead of end time, as I said, we come up to the rapture and the bridge, and we'll be dealing with some more of what's going to happen to the Christians and also the world left behind. Get to understand the reality of the days that we're living in. I'm not sure that people, that Christians, really understand the reality of the day that you and I are living. We're living in one of the greatest times in the Christian era of the church age for 2,000 years. And if you can't see these signs, there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong if you can't see the sign that God has pointed in the Word of God, and we see it around us every day. These verses of scripture that Jesus Christ taught his disciples, this is on the Great Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. He says there in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which lead unto life, and few there be that find it." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. And I hope, Father, that you put on the mind and heart of every person in here the sincerity, Father, the days that we're living in right now and the reality, Father, of your soon returning and to see these milepost signs all around us and knowing that time will not keep going like it's going now, that there's something in the air, there's something that's going to cause a great change. People knows it. Father, we just pray, God, that we might get an understanding and we'd be prepared for what's coming ahead in the days that we are living in this day and be ready for it, and for our families and our loved ones to be ready for it. Father, we just pray that you would help us for understanding here this morning, and I just pray for my voice to hold out in the name of Jesus. Amen. Excuse me. The interstate road, as you all mostly know, is a very wide road most of the time that we're traveling down. Now, most of us has been on an interstate road. I would say if you're old enough to drive, you have been on an interstate road sometime in your life. There's a lot of roads in the world. There's over 4 million miles of highway in the United States alone. But on the wide road, Pleasant Hill, if you say you hadn't been on there, maybe somebody have not been on the road and traveled on these interstate roads. But I tell you, we have all been on this wide road that Jesus Christ is talking about. It's called the wide road leads to hell. Every one of us has been on that road. You don't have to do anything to get on that road. You're already born onto that road. When you reach the age of accountability, you're already on the wide road. You don't exit on it, you're already on it. That's one of the illustrations that varies from what I want to talk about. You're already on that wide road. It's been there a while. We've all been there. Now, Pleasant Hill today, I hope you understand that, you know what, you may have some family members or loved ones, kids, daughter, wife, mother, father, whoever it might be on this wide road. I hope you get understand this morning the reality and sincerity of your loved ones being on the wide road. Because Jesus Christ, the most loving person that's ever walked on this earth, talked about hell and people that's going to hell that's on this wide road. We say, oh, not my family preacher. They're not. They're members of a church. I'd hate to know that I depended on my salvation being a member of a church. I'd hate to know I depended on my family just because they're a member of a church and been baptized. If that's all the evidence that you have that they're going to heaven, you're in thin ground. Jesus wants us to understand this interstate road. This interstate road that goes to hell. Now you can get on these interstate roads of our country and you can go from east to west, Jacksonville, Florida to California. You can go from north to south all the way across and east and west. They won't be a red light, they won't be a stop sign from one side of this United States to the other side on interstate road. Now you might stop occasionally because of the road traffic, but there are no red light, no stop signs. Did you know what? That's exactly the way it is. The people that's on the wide road going to hell, there are no stop signs. There are no red lights. Only exits. And if you stay on that road and your loved one, your family stays on that road, they're going to the destination called hell. That's a terrible subject, isn't it? And your love, I don't care how much you love your kids and your family and your loved ones, your love will not save them from a place called hell. But not only that, Jesus' love will not save them from a place called hell. He so loved the world. God did it. He gave his only begotten son. He gave his son to this world. That's the greatest love that anybody can have to show and to prove what he done on Calvary's cross. But everybody's not saved because of what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross. They got to accept it. They got to get off that wide road. And you need to be concerned about your families and your friends and your neighbors. We just need to be concerned. You see, there are no signs on these interstate roads that tells us, you know, that you're going to hell. This world interstate road, I said, no stop sign, just exit now. You know what? There's a sign up on that road, and it's the cross of Calvary right now for your families. They're on this broad road. I guarantee you, some of you, and you got some families that's lost. Now, I ain't saying who is or who not, because that ain't my job, that ain't my business, that's the Lord Almighty. And he's the only one that knows anyway. But I'm telling you what, Jesus Christ is holding up that sign to some of your loved ones, family, friends, neighbor, whoever it might be that you know. And he said, exit now. Get off of that wide road. Because it leads to hell. Now John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he's on the broad road. Because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten son. He's already, she's already, they already on the broad road. They're already going to hell. You see, there's a decision to face. If you're on that broad road or your family on that road, there is a decision that you have to face. You say, I won't make a decision. Yeah, you'll make a decision. If you don't want to exit off, you're going to your destination. And also, there's a direction that you must follow and the decisions you're going to find it in, no matter who you are. As we travel down this interstate road of life, a lot of times we can find some narrow roads. And every time that you exit off an interstate, it's always a smaller road. You're going down a 2 or 3 lane highway on a main road, and there's an exit. But most of the time, it's just a 1 lane road exiting off. The narrow road is always a narrow road. And the exit off of this main road, always small roads. And it says, few be there that find it. Most people are going right straight on down the interstate. Just a few people you'll find along and along, start exiting off. Most people keeps going. Decision of time that you have to exit. Did you know your life is full of decisions, but the biggest decision you'll ever make is exit off of that road? Traveling down that road of life, the decision to stay on that wide road, and it leads to destruction. It leads to punishment. It leads to judgment. And it leads to hell. This is another milepost that I've been preaching on, that we're getting into this road. Because you see, that very idea and the mindset and idea of people today living around us, and even some Christians, become more and more rejecting the idea of hell. This country that we're living in, not talking about the whole world, it's worse, but this country we're living in, what's happening now, this sort of opened your eyes to the milepost, because they're rejecting the idea of hell and everlasting punishment. And hell is fading away in our society. Hell is. People just do not believe in a place called hell. It's fading away from our mind, the United States, across this world. But Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The judgment. Many believe destruction and punishment and hell is a wore out word from an old religion, an old Bible that's out of date. Joel Osteen says that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is out of date, and people still listen to that quack. Said the Gospels are out of date. You won't hear hell come from that pulpit. He don't believe in it. Rejecting the idea, the decision you and I need to make is there is a hell. There is a hell. Now, if there's not no hell, as many preachers today in pulpits across this land, and even in Baptist churches and liberal preachers especially, they do not preach on hell. It is not politically correct, as you know, in our country. It's cruel and unloving, and it's a negative term for a preacher to preach on hell. But Jesus Christ, if he was wrong about preaching on hell, he preached more on hell than any other preacher in the Bible. He preached on hell. And if he didn't preach the truth about hell, we lose hell, but we also lose heaven. The Bible says there's a place called hell and a place called heaven. I don't think any preacher really likes to preach on hell. No preacher should ever preach on hell. It's a broken heart. I had to search my heart because there's so many dangers and there's so many people going to this terrible place called hell. There's a lot of Baptist church members going to hell. The destiny of those traveling on this broad road, hell. The broad road that's ahead for many, many people. And it tells us that there is a reality of hell. Now, the Bible uses several words in the Bible for hell. In the Old Testament, you see hell in your King James Version Bible. A lot of times, Old Testament use S-H-E-L-O-L, Shalom. abode of the dead or abode of the wicked dead. Psalms 9 and 17 says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, that word. And all the nations that forget God. You know what our nation has forgot God? This is a promise of Almighty God that this nation is going to hell. New Testament word is Hades, for the same word in Old Testament, Sheol, abode of the wicked dead. That was used of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man lift up his eyes, being in torment. Hades, abode of the wicked dead. Jesus Christ used the word Gehenna several times. And that's another word for hell. In Jerusalem, there were several valleys around the city in the early days, even before the Jews took over Jerusalem. And this valley around Jerusalem, there were several of them. One of them named Gehenna, or Hinnom. And it was called the Valley of Lamentations. And the reason it was called the Valley of Lamentation of crying, because mothers and fathers would go there to the idol worship, and they'd worship Moloch. In that valley, they would heat this wicked god, this brass god. He had a big old arm, belly stretched out. They would heat this god to burning heat, and the people would throw the little babies in that thing and be burned up, and the cries and the shrills of the little young babies were crying up. It was called the Valley of Lamentations, so many cries. The precious children. I wonder if anybody in this country today is hearing the cries of the unborn is being killed by the same way. Planned Parenthood and our president, if you want to call him that, and all the rest of the party that supports him, of the killing of the unborn, killing those babies of the lamentation. But there was a man that moved on the scene. He was a king of Judah, Hosea. He found a copy of the Word of God, began to read that Word of God. He brought revival to the nation of Israel. He reformed the nation of Israel. And they stopped worshiping idols and the pagan worship they were worshiping in that valley of Gehenna. Pray that someone will read their Bible and we start a revival in this country and quit killing our children. The cries of unborn. I hope that people can hear that whenever they vote for anybody or any party that's for killing those babies. I hope you hear the cries of the millions of babies that's killed every year in the valley of Gehenna. Gehenna is called the garbage dump in Jerusalem. After they quit sacrificing their baby, it was turned into a garbage dump, which burned all the time it's taking place. A lot of you don't remember garbage dump, but every city, every county had a garbage dump. People throw the garbage in every day. I remember going to some city garbage dumps and carrying out garbage. Scriven, Patterson, all towns had a little garbage dump. And they go and throw that all your trash and your garbage in that garbage dump. And they try to burn it off and the fire be burning. I mean, it come a big rain and the fire will still be burning. There'll still be smoke. I won't ever forget that because it brought me a picture back of what's really happening in our society today about this place called hell. Every time that you see a garbage can, these green garbage cans inside the road, you know what? That'll remind you there's a hell. Every time that garbage truck comes along and picks up your garbage, that should remind you that there's a hell. Gehenna's a place called hell. It's used 12 times in the New Testament. Jesus used them 11 times himself. You need to decide about hell, whether it's true or false. You need to decide. Description of hell. It says in the Bible, where the fire was never quenched. Why is that? Because they're always throwing more garbage on it. Always throwing more garbage. Souls are always going to hell. Every day, more souls is going into hell. Every day, every day. While we sit here in this sermon, they don't tell how many thousands of people are being dumped in hell every day. Or the worm dieth not. Because of the garbage continuously being dumped and continuously being dumped. the lake of fire and brimstone. You couldn't walk out there, it would burn you to death. The place of weeping and gnashing of teeth is a wicked place for us to understand. I never saw anybody burnt to death. I've talked to people that have. And I preached at Astoria. One of my members was Ronnie Davis. He was a state patrol for many years with state patrol office. He was a patrol leader at Waycross. He told me one time that he was on the cruise and a car had turned over. And a young man was in that car up against a tree and mashed, and he couldn't get out. And a fire busted out, began to burn that car, and they couldn't get him out. He saw that man. He saw his face. He's pinned in that car. He says, I'll tell you what he told me. He says, sir, shoot me. He says, I won't ever forget. He said, shoot me. Shoot me. Shoot me. It must be terrible to be burnt to death. I'm here to tell you that hell will never stop burning people. Never stop burning people. I had to search my heart. And I'm not sure a lot of us, maybe sitting here today, really believe there's a place called hell. We may say it with our lips, but do you really believe it? That your loved ones without Jesus Christ will go to hell? Oh, my family, as I said, well, they've been baptized. Pitiful. Where's the signs that they're saved? Where's the sign they're saved? Do we really believe people go to hell without Jesus Christ? Do we really believe that? As I said, you know, the Lord always preaches to us, don't Brother Marshall, before we preach out there. Even in our beds sometimes. If we believe there's a hell, people, Pleasant Hill, I'm talking to you, where is the concern? Where is the tears? That person is going to burn continuously, 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 forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. Where's the tears at that we have, should have as a church? That concern. Where is the attitude that we need to get people to church? How many months has it been since you went to someone and tried to invite them to the house of God Sunday morning, night, Wednesday night? Where's the effort to win people to Jesus Christ if we really do believe that people go to hell? And you may not believe this, but it's talking to me most of all. If we really believe there's a place called hell, we wouldn't be living the unconcerned life that we live. None of us would. Where is the compassion and the concern and the urgency to reach people for Jesus? We're going to start praying for lost people on Wednesday night. Now, we pray for all the sick as mentioned, but you know what? Sooner or later, the sick people will be healed, every boy that we pray for. Y'all know that? Every sick person we have that we pray for is going to be healed. Either in this life or other life. But there's no healing in a place called hell. There's no healing in a place called hell. Forever and forever, we're going to start praying. Why don't we get our Sunday school teachers to have a prayer in their Sunday school class to try to get people here on Wednesday night so we can pray for them. You don't have to call out people's names. Some people don't want their names called out. God knows them, and that's what's important. Don't want to embarrass anybody, but is anybody that you think they don't have Jesus Christ, your loved one, family members, neighbor, father, mother, whoever it might be, I don't know. You come and raise your hand Wednesday night. You Sunday school teacher, see if you can't get your class here on Wednesday night. If you're concerned, you need to be here on Wednesday night. If you really do believe there's a place called hell, and people really go there, a place called hell. The reality of hell, but you see, there's a reason. Because the justice of God demands it. Hell. The Bible, God is love, also God is wrath. Compassion, but there's judgment and punishment. The greatest verse in the Bible, I already quoted, John 3:16. The greatest love verse in the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not, there's hell, perish. There's hell there in one of the greatest verses in the Bible. There it is. There's hell. Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest love verse in the Bible, but yet there's hell. Love, wrath of God's justice demands it. Everybody's not going to go to the same place. Hitler and Paul that wrote the New Testament Bible, everybody's not going to go to the same place. There's a dividing place. Because you see, logic even demands that there's a hell. The law of opposite demands there's a hell. There's up, there's down. There's low, there's high. There's right, and there's left. Hot and cold. North and south. East and west. Heaven and hell. Logic demands there's a hell. Embedded in our minds is the word called hell. John and Joe drives a lot of nails. Any of your men ever hit their thumb, they said, oh, heaven. Embedded in our mind is the word hell. Sin demands that there be a hell. People says, I don't believe God, a loving God, but send anybody to hell. God does not send anybody to hell. Sin sends people to hell. And rejected, the exit sign is on the broad road. They go to a place called hell. Hell is a penitentiary demands for the wicked people. The cross demands there's a hell. Why did Jesus die? People don't believe in hell. They believe that Jesus died. Why did Jesus die if there's no hell? If there's no hell, why do you read your Bible? Why are there a Bible that you hold in your hand if you don't believe in hell and people really goes to hell? Why are you here this morning? Why did God call preachers to warn people about hell? But there's also a recall of hell. The recall of hell. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41 it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell was not made for human beings. It was made for the devil and his angels. The abode there that says there an everlasting fire of the wicked dead called Gehenna. Hell number one. You see, there's a hell number one and a hell number two. In Revelation chapter 20, there's going to be a recall of hell. Everybody has died from this day backwards. Without the faith in Christ Jesus, and in the Old Testament, without the faith, always there was faith. They went to the abode of the dead. The abode of the dead. They're in hell right now. Person died yesterday without Jesus Christ in hell right now. But there's coming a time when it says hell is going to give up. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. That's hell number two. brimstone, which the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne of him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead was judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell number one, delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his work. And death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. Hell number two, this is the second death. We're going to be caught up the judgment seat of Christ. Christians are. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those who remain are going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and then we go into the judgment. You won't be judged of your sins because that was took care of Calvary. You're going to be judged of the work was done since you were saved till the time that God called you home or the rapture comes. But for the wicked dead, they won't rise. Everybody in the cemetery, whenever the rapture comes, is not going to come out of these old graveyards. Don't ever think that everybody is going to come out of these graveyards. Only the saved in Christ Jesus is going to come out of the graveyards. They won't come out until we find here in Revelation chapter 20, after tribulation, God is going to judge them. And they've been in hell and torment all the time, but they've had a soul and they've had a spirit in torment all the time, in torment and torment, never satisfied in torment and torment. But that's not the end. Hell and death gave up those that was dead. And God judged them according to works they had done in this life. And God's going to give them a new body also. We're going to get a new body at the rapture. They'll get a new body when they're called up out of hell. They'll get a body that will never, ever, ever burn up. Never. Hell number two. And it says they was cast back down into hell. How could you understand this? Well, lake of fire is hell number two. You see, when someone does a crime in our country, a lot of times they go to the county jail or the city jail. Now, they may stay there for several weeks, maybe months even, before their trial comes up and they get through with their trial. But if they found guilty of whatever the crime might be out of that county jail, they're going to be sentenced to the federal penitentiary. That's hell number two. Jail to me would be bad enough if it was a city jail, or a county jail would be bad enough. But even worse than that is the state or the federal pen. But they're going to the penitentiary if they're found guilty. And people is going to be judged by the great white throne judgment. They're going to come up out of hell. They're going to be judged. They're going back. But they're going to the federal penitentiary forever and forever and forever and forever. Forever they're going. In Luke chapter 22, you know, the rich man and Lazarus. Verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels of Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell number one, he lifted his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Lazarus afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in torment in these flames. And Abraham said, Son, remember. Remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise rather the evil thing, but now he is come for thou art in torment. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that which would pass from hence to come cannot, either they that would pass to us that would come from hence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, at least they also come to this place of torment. You see, in hell, there are several things in hell. One thing they're going to be, remember, every sermon, every prayer of some mother, some father, everything it tried to tell you about the warning exit on this road of the interstate highway to hell. Remember. Well, a lot of times we say, well, you know, I'm old, you know, and I forget things. You don't really forget anything. Did you know some of us sitting right here? A certain song play on the radio, it would bring some thoughts back to you just like that. Somebody's name would be mentioned to you in a conversation, some thoughts would come back to you just like that. Some place you might drive by and go, and you'll remember to come back just like that. Something happened there. The recall of your mind. I think about things sometimes pops into my mind, had to be whenever I was a young child. The Holy Spirit can pull it back up. Remember. Remember, remember, remember. And also it says, in verse 28, I got five brothers. There was more concern of that man in hell than they are concerned in a lot of Baptist churches this morning. How many children is going to hell because of the unconcerned mothers and fathers? How many children is going to hell because of unconcern and inconsistency of mothers and fathers and grandparents? Like I said, they're members, they've been baptized. Don't put that up in front of their salvation. You don't have to be baptized or a member of a church to go to heaven. God demands it, but you don't have to be the thief on the cross walking. That's not evidence of salvation because you walked down a church, you got baptized. What happens afterwards? Boy, we tell you what, we need to get some reality. And I think the greatest mission field we have is in our own church families, on our church rolls. As you think about this, the only one road that leads to hell. Jesus Christ described that as interstate highway of life, the wide road. But you know one thing? There's no roads that leads out of hell. Jesus Christ holds up those arms. He says, exit here. And he felt the nails in his hand and feet so we wouldn't have to feel the pains of hell. He took our place. Jesus on the cross of Calvary says, I thirst. So you would never have to beg for a drop of water to be touched to your tongue. He was abandoned by God. So you will never have to be abandoned by God. There's a real place called heaven. I know y'all might not like this. I didn't like to preach it either. But it's the truth. It's the truth of the Word of God. There's a real place called hell, and without Jesus Christ, that's where people's going. Are we warning them? Are we concerned about them? We need to be concerned about him. You know, our Wednesday night ought to be filled up next Wednesday night. The people come and pray for someone's lost. You have anybody in your family that's lost? Any relatives, any cousins, any neighbor, anybody? You don't have anybody? You got any idea of anybody that's lost anywhere around you come in contact every day? We come for a song of invitation. Thank you.